Well, good evening. It's great to see everybody here again tonight as we come together to study God's Word, to set our minds on things above, to think higher for a few moments, and to look beyond this land of parting, losing, and weeping to a place where everything will be perfect. And as we think about our journey to that place, we realize that God has placed within us this desire for eternity. And that is not something that just comes upon us magically whenever we reach adulthood, but we find that God has placed it within us from very early on. And as we begin to be trained and as we begin to learn, we see God and the things around us. We see His handiwork, and we see that He has some expectations of us from a very young age. And this evening, we're going to continue our study of setting our minds on things above by addressing the younger people. And I hope we will realize that that may include more of us than we think. When Paul addressed Timothy, he called him a young man, and he could have been upwards of 40 years old. But I hope that some of the things that we talk about won't just be geared toward the young people alone, but will be some principles that all of us can learn from as we think about the idea of remembering our Creator in the days of our youth. It's been said that we are only young once, because that is all society can stand. Sometimes I think we overemphasize the foolishness of youth, but maybe sometimes we also over-accentuate the life and the energy of youth. In fact, sometimes we see it vilified, sometimes we see it glorified. And I think we need to take a balanced view of youth, that it's not all bad, it's not all good, but God has a purpose even for us when we are young. We saw in our scripture reading, the whole section there, Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verses 1 through 8. It actually starts a little bit earlier, but I just want us to read verse 1 again. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, in verse 1, "Remember also your Creator in the days of your youth, before the evil days come, when the years draw near, when you will say, 'I have no delight in them.'" Now, obviously, this is within a context, and the entire context of the book is working toward this chapter and working toward the ultimate conclusion that we need to fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole of man, or this is the whole duty of man. But when we think about that idea of remembering the Creator in the days of your youth, we might sometimes think, well, that just means I need to recall God at special occasions. Maybe on Sundays, Wednesdays, I need to be thinking about God, or if I get into a particularly difficult situation, I need to remember God. But this word remember in the original language can mean just the idea of remembering or recalling, but it has been said by one of the good lexicons of the Hebrew Bible that this, in this context, means keep in mind. That shows that this is more of a continuous idea, that we are continually keeping God in our mind in the days of our youth before we get to a point where we might feel like the days are evil. And then in poetic fashion, he talks about what happens to us as we get older. And as you read through some of those figures that he uses, he talks about how things get difficult later. And so if things are going to get difficult later, let's not think it's going to be easy then to change if we haven't been thinking about God early. We need to be remembering, recalling, keeping in mind the one who made us from the very beginning. We need to remember our Creator in the days of our youth. In fact, Timothy, a young man, protege of Paul, look what Paul had to say to him. First, we'll look at 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 12. 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 12. He says here, "Let no one look down on your youthfulness, but rather in speech, conduct, love, faith, and purity, show yourself an example to those who believe." Paul is telling Timothy, I know you're a young man, and I've placed great responsibility on you by leaving you as an evangelist in the city of Ephesus. You're having to work with some elders, maybe even some who are being difficult. That may be what he's talking about with those false teachers in chapter 1. And you're going to have to do your work in teaching so that qualified elders are going to be appointed. And then he's going to get to in chapter 5 that you need to make sure, even those who are older than you, that you're not going to go a wrong way, even if they are. But he says, you as a young man, you've got a great responsibility to show yourself an example, to let people see what Christ is even in your youth. Look over to the next book, 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 22. Paul, again, writing to Timothy, and this is Paul's last letter. He's about to die, and this is what he wants his true son in the faith to know. He says, now flee from youthful lusts. But not just flee, but to pursue a different course. Pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace with those who call on the Lord from a pure heart. Now note a couple of special things here, and we're going to accentuate these principles as we go throughout our study. But he says, in our youth, remembering our Creator means that we forsake some things that everybody else is doing. We pursue some things that not a lot of people are doing, but we make sure we are connecting and we are fellowshipping those who are of the same values, who are calling on the name of the Lord. Those are important principles. But you know, that's going to make for a few, for a small group of people, and especially a small group of young people. I fear that sometimes even among Christians, we get the idea that young people need to be able to sow their wild oats. But as it's been said, you can't expect to sow your wild oats and then get a crop failure later on. We will always reap what we sow. We need to seek God in the days of our youth. Make those strong habits early so that we do not regret when we are in our older age. How are we going to go about doing that? How are we going to recall or keep in mind our Creator in the days of our youth? I'd like us to look at three quick points this evening. We're going to spend the most time on the first point as we look at a case study. We're going to be looking at Josiah. Maybe we haven't spent a lot of time with Josiah, a king in Judah, but I think he is an example. He's a model of what remembering our Creator in the days of our youth would be. There are various possibilities of people we could look at. We could look at Joseph, we can look at Jesus, we can look at Timothy, but we get a more comprehensive or a more complete view because we get to see Josiah from beginning to end. And in fact, he even dies in his youth at the age of 39 years old. And yet, this is a man who sought the Lord. This is a man who remembered his Creator in the days of his youth. Now, in the scriptures behind me, I have some of the key points of Josiah's life, and we're going to spend a little bit of time there. But Josiah was a man who lived from 648 to 609 BC. Now, if we remember our timeline at all, that means he comes after some of the worst kings of Judah. And he's going to be followed by some of the worst kings. And his sons and his uncle, they are going to lead the people into exile. It's not going to be too long before Daniel and his friends are taken away into exile. It's not going to be too long before Nebuchadnezzar comes and takes away the exiles with Ezekiel. And it's not going to be too much beyond that that he's going to destroy the city of Jerusalem. And yet Josiah is a bright spot in this very dark period in the history of Israel. But Josiah is not first mentioned when he takes the kingship. As many are, it just says so-and-so took the kingship. Josiah is actually mentioned about 300 years before he was born. Look with me in 1 Kings chapter 13. 1 Kings chapter 13. Note here that you have a man of God, some unknown prophet, who is going to speak to Jeroboam. He says, now behold, there came a man of God from Judah to Bethel by the word of the Lord, while Jeroboam was standing by the altar to burn incense. He cried against the altar by the word of the Lord and said, O altar, altar, thus says the Lord, behold, a son shall be born in the house of David, Josiah by name. And on you he shall sacrifice the priest of the high places who burn incense on you, and human bones shall be burned on you. And then he says, then he gave a sign the same day, saying, this is the sign which the Lord has spoken. Behold, the altar shall be split apart, and the ashes which are on it shall be poured out. Now we should get in our minds here that God knew the kind of character that Josiah was going to have, and he was going to use Josiah, and he could talk about Josiah 300 years before he was born. Now, God may not talk about us in prophetic fashion. He's not going to, because what we have is all we need in the Bible. But I tell you what, God has a plan for us even in our youth. He knows what we're capable of. And if we make the right decisions, God can use us powerfully in His service. Look what Josiah does with this in 2 Kings chapter 22. 2 Kings chapter 22. Note that about 300 years later, you have Josiah's inauguration. In 2 Kings 22, we're going to read verse 1. 2 Kings 22. And verse number 1. Josiah was 8 years old when he became king, and he reigned 31 years in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Jedidah, the daughter of Adadiah of Bascath. Now, we read this, and we might just kind of read past it, but he is 8 years old when he becomes king. I think Emily and I were talking about this with Caleb just a few recently. Said, you know how old Josiah was when he became king? He was 8 years old, just like you. 8 years old, and he becomes king. Why did he become king at 8 years old? Well, it's not because he was necessarily something special, this prodigy that was able to lead the kingdom. It's because he had a terrible grandfather and a terrible father. His grandfather was Manasseh. Manasseh is the one who sent innocent children, his own children, to the fire for Molech. And it's because of Manasseh that God promised, you have done such wickedness that this people is going into exile. Well, we learn in Chronicles, where it gives us a little bit more positive view of the kings, that Manasseh repented, and so he was spared from that fate. It was going to pass on to another generation. But you know, Manasseh did not do a good job with his own son. His son learned from his big mistakes. And so Amon rules for just a few short years, and then he's assassinated. And if it's, I don't want to speculate where God has not spoken, but you know, in that time period, what they would do when they assassinated kings is they would often do it right before the eyes of their own sons. I don't know if Josiah saw it or not, but he was going to grow up knowing that his grandfather and his father were some of the worst of the worst. And at 8 years old, this responsibility is placed on Josiah. Now, there is a bit of time in between when Josiah is going to really take control of the kingdom. He's going to have some very special people who are working and preparing him for this role of king and shepherd of the people of Israel. I assume that his mother was a fairly faithful person, Jedidah, because it obviously wasn't his father who instilled good values in him. We also have men like Hilkiah the priest. Jeremiah was prophesying at this time, along with Zephaniah. And so Josiah is going to be hearing the word of God in his youth. And it's going to be 8 years later that Josiah makes one of the most important decisions anyone could possibly make. Would you look with me in 2 Chronicles 34? 2 Chronicles 34. Here's another account of Josiah as we move a little bit farther along. 2 Chronicles 34. We're going to read verses 3 through 8. 2 Chronicles 34, verses 3 through 8. Notice, for in the eighth year, now if we're not very good at our addition, he started when he was 8 years old, and this is 8 years later. How old is he? He's 16 years old. He's a teenager, just like some of you. And it says, in the eighth year of his reign, while he was still a youth, he began to seek the God of his father, David. I think that's significant. Not the God of his father, Ammon. Not the God of his father Manasseh. It goes all the way back to the prototypical king of Israel, David. No one of the kings walked with God the way David walked. And what does Josiah do? An Old Testament restoration. He goes back to the greatest of the kings who sought God and who was a man after God's own heart. And he sought the God of his father David. And in the 12th year, he began to purge Judah and Jerusalem of the high places, the Asherim, the carved images, and the molten images. They tore down the altars of the Baals, and in the presence and in the incense altars that were high above them, he chopped down. Also the Asherim, the carved images and the molten images, he broke in pieces and ground to powder and scattered it on the graves of those who sacrificed to them. That should remind us of 1 Kings. Then he burned the bones of the priests on their altars and purged Judah and Jerusalem and the cities of Manasseh, Ephraim, Simeon, even as far as Naphtali, in their surrounding ruins. Now let me just pause there. Josiah is king of Judah. He's up in Israel, and he is purging even in Israel the wickedness from it. He also tore down the altars and beat the Asherim and the carved images into powder and chopped down all the incense altars throughout the land of Israel. Then he returned to Jerusalem. That's the 8th year. That's the 12th year. Now we get to the 18th year. Now in the 18th year of his reign, when he had purged the land and the house, he sent Shaphan, the son of Azaliah, and Maaseiah, an official of the city, and Joah, the son of Jehoahaz, the recorder, to repair the house of the Lord his God. Look at this young man. You have him at 8 years old being given the kingdom. At 16, he is seeking God. At 20, he is influencing others by reforming Judah and Israel. And at 22, he is repairing and promoting worship of God. This is an important young man in the history of Judah. This is a man who saw that they had gotten too far away. They had stepped away from God. And he wasn't going to look at it and say, well, this is a job for the elders of the people. This is a job for the priest. He says, if I am going to be king of God's people, we are going to go back to Yahweh. We're going to go back to Jehovah. We're going to stop this Baal worship. We're going to stop this Asherim worship. And we're going to get back to temple worship. And we are going to serve our God. This is a young man who had a vision, had a purpose, that he was going to serve the Lord all the days of his life. Now keep reading with me, if you will. Let's look at verse number 14. Look at the heart of Josiah as he's doing all these things. This is probably by the traditional teaching of the priest that he has been instructed in. But now he's going to find something that's going to take things even further. Verse 14. When they were bringing out the money which had been brought into the house of the Lord, Hilkiah the priest found the book of the law of the Lord given to Moses. And a little bit later it's going to say, we have found the book of God in the house of God. How many times does the book of God get lost in the house of God? And Josiah, when he hears this book, he weeps. It touches him to realize we have left the Lord. As a young man, he was in tune with what God's people need to be. And he did not say, this is someone else's responsibility. He says, this is my responsibility. Keep reading with me. We'll drop down to verse number 23. Says she, that is Huldah, said to them, thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, tell the man who sent you to me, thus says the Lord, behold, I am bringing evil on this place and on its inhabitants, even all the curses written in the book which they have read in the presence of the king of Judah, because they have forsaken me and have burned incense to other gods, that they might provoke me to anger with all the works of their hands. Therefore, my wrath will be poured out on this place, and it shall not be quenched. Keep reading, it says, but to the king of Judah who sent you to inquire of the Lord, thus you shall say to him, thus says the Lord God of Israel, regarding the words which you have heard, because your heart was tender and you humbled yourself before God when you heard his words against this place and against the inhabitants, and because you humbled yourself before me, tore your clothes and wept before me, I truly have heard you, declares the Lord. Behold, I will gather you to your fathers, and you will be gathered to your grave in peace. So your eyes will not see all the evil which I will bring upon this place and on its inhabitants. And they brought word back to the king. Did you see that description of Josiah? Even a young man in his 20s, his heart was tender to the word of God. Too many young people, and I'm sure we can all speak from our own experience, find ourselves in places where we get a little hard-hearted against the word of God. I don't want to do what my parents have done. They're just forcing religion on me. I don't want to hear this book. It's outdated. It's not relevant to this generation. Josiah was tender to the word of the Lord. He responded when God spoke. Look with me in verse number 33. Josiah then removed all the abominations from all the land belonging to the sons of Israel and made all who were present in Israel to serve the Lord their God. Throughout his lifetime, they did not turn from following the Lord God of their fathers. This is a man who is tender to the word of God, and he's going to influence others toward God. He's a man who loves God, and he's going to make sure that people will listen to whatever the Bible says. We need young people like that. Young people who are going to respond to God's word and who are going to influence others for good. Now, did you hear that promise that was made, that I will gather you to your fathers? I think the reason why Josiah, even though he made a mistake in going out to battle, died at the tender age of 39 was because God was not going to let him see the exile that was coming. That came upon his sons and upon his relative. Josiah was gathered to his fathers. What can we learn from this case study of Josiah? Well, young people, number one, we can learn that we should never underestimate God's purpose for our lives. God knew what kind of man Josiah was going to be, and he prophesied 300 years before what he was going to do against idolatry through this man, Josiah. Second thing we can learn is that we can overcome the failures of the past with God's help. I think we're living in a culture that likes to shift the blame on someone else. It's always the previous generation's fault. If anyone had a right to shift blame, it was Josiah, who was the son of Ammon, who was the son of Manasseh. And he was not going to follow in their footsteps when he learned who God was and what his responsibility was to God. God can help us overcome our failures. Did we not have the best home life growing up? God can help us through that. Did we have bad influences while we were at school? God can help us overcome that. God can help us overcome any failure in the past if we will simply turn our hearts to Him and seek Him with all of our being. Third thing we can learn from Josiah is that we need to respect godly wisdom from faithful followers who are older than us. I think Josiah was learning at a young age from his mother, from the priest, from the prophets. But you know, a lot of us have godly influences, elders who are among us. And I don't just mean elders in the office, but people who are older than us. They can help us. But you know, sometimes the problem is not that we don't have the mentors, it's that we don't listen to our mentors. Josiah had a heart to listen to these people, to accept their wisdom, and to begin seeking the Lord. Someone has said that today's accent may be on youth, but the stress is still on the parents. There is a lot of wisdom that we can gain from those who are older than us. Fourth, we are never too young to make a personal commitment to God. And I'm not saying that we should start baptizing infants. But what I am saying is that it doesn't matter where we are in our stage of accountability to God, we can make a decision from very young that we are going to seek the Lord. Josiah was 16, and he determined he was going to seek the Lord. There's a bumper sticker out there that says, "You are only young once, but you can be immature your whole life." God doesn't want that spiritually. He wants us to make a commitment to Him, to keep growing, In fact, in Hebrews chapters 5 and 6, he talks about people who have become lazy learners, or as it's usually translated, dull of hearing. And he says, you're not listening to the Word of God anymore. What's the exhortation in chapter 6? Let us press on to maturity. And why do we need to press on to maturity? He gives that illustration of a field that is sown. And if one produces crops, it's going to be gathered, it's going to be joyous, it's going to produce fruit. But he says if it produces thorns and thistles, they're going to be gathered up and burned. I think the point he's making is that if we don't continue in the Word of God, if we don't mature in the Word of God, our heart is going to get harder and harder until the Word of God can't touch us anymore. That's what he means when he says there is no opportunity for repentance. And the curse will be upon us. Young people, we start now callousing our hearts if we're not careful. And if we keep getting them harder and harder and harder, the Word of God might not be able to break through at some point. We've got to keep soft hearts. We've got to be tender to the Word of God. And we have to realize that at a young age, we need to make that personal commitment to the Lord. And number 5, we must influence those around us, especially our peers, for good. We're going to talk about in our next point that sometimes maybe those of us that are a little bit older, I hope even though I've got the gray that I'm not in the old category yet, but sometimes we start putting young people just in the defensive. Don't do this. Avoid this. Run from this. And those are important principles to make. But God expects us to be active, even at a young age. And if we make a personal commitment to God at a young age, we had better be doing the best we can to influence others. Josiah sought the Lord, and it was just a couple of years later that he's telling the entire country, we are going to seek the Lord. This was a man who realized that we need to let our light shine before men, that they may see our good works and glorify our Father in heaven. This is the view of youth that God has for us. Seek God early. Seek Him zealously. Influence others for good. Now let's build on this just a little bit as we move out of the specific study into some general principles. Again, sometimes young people are merely put on the defensive. Christianity for young people is sometimes merely reactionary, defending against the attacks of Satan. But that's not the totality of God's vision for youth. He wants young believers to be active. He wants us to go on the offensive against Satan. Now, young people, what I just said does not necessarily give you permission just to be offensive for the sake of being offensive. But we need to go on the offensive. We need to fight the armor of God that's been given to us. Yes, there's a lot of defense in that, but there's also some activity. There's some offensive weapons. The sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And I want to suggest 4 principles that will help us to be active in our faith at a young age and not merely defensive. Number 1, we need to be young people of integrity. That is not just reaction against evil. That is promotion of purity. Look with me in 1 Timothy chapter 5. Remember that Timothy is a young man to whom Paul is writing. 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse number 22. 1 Timothy 5 and verse number 22. He says, do not lay hands upon anyone too hastily and thereby share responsibility for the sins of others. Keep yourself free from sin. Or keep yourself pure. Young people, we need to be people of integrity. People who are honest, who are holy. We need to be people that when others look at us, they say, that is what it means to serve the Lord. Not so that they glorify us, not so that we get some kind of chip on our own shoulder, but so that they will look to God through us. We need to flee youthful lust, but that also means we need to pursue righteousness. We need to be moving in the right direction. Sometimes that means we need to watch out the company we're with. We'll talk about this a little bit more in a moment. 1 Timothy 15:33 talks about the false teachers that are among them. It says, bad company or bad companionship corrupts good morals. And so we need to be pure. There's a couple of verses I want us to look at from the Proverbs and the Psalms, just for a moment, if you'll turn with me to Proverbs chapter 13. Proverbs chapter 13, and notice the kind of integrity, the kind of character that God expects us to have. Proverbs chapter 13 and verse 20. He who walks with wise men will be wise, but the companion of fools will suffer harm. Do we want to be wise from a young age? We've got to hang out with wise people and learn from them. Look with me in Psalm 119. Psalm 119 and verse number 63. Psalm 119 and verse number 63 says, I am a companion of all those who fear you and of those who keep your precepts. If we want to be active in our integrity, that means, yes, as we're going to note, we need to influence those people who are not doing the right thing, but we also need to be with the people who are doing the right thing. It's harder to fall away in groups. And Satan has less chance whenever we are together. We're accountable to one another, and we're helping and strengthening one another. You know how it describes Satan as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour? I don't know if you've ever done any study or watched a documentary on lions and how they hunt, but they'll circle the herd, whatever animal it might be that is their prey, and they'll watch for hours. They'll look and they'll try to find the weakest one. And when the opportunity is there that the weakest one is away from the rest of the group, that's when they let out the roar. We kind of get this picture that you got this roaring lion always roaring, seeking whom he may devour. And so you always hear Satan coming. That's not how lions work. They find this when we're weak. Then they roar to scare the prey so that they stop, so that the lion can attack. We need to stay close to the group. And we need to realize that integrity means being pure and not associating with those who are wicked and leading us to wickedness. Now, someone's automatically thinking, how are we going to influence people? What about Jesus? He's a friend of sinners. I'm not saying we cut off all contact. I'm just saying that the Psalms say, I'm the companion of those who fear you. People of integrity are going to want to be around people who are of integrity. And you know what? When we are people of integrity, that is going to draw others to God. Second thing I want us to know is if we're going to be active in our faith from a young age, that means we're going to have to be those people of influence. So as we develop this integrity and we're trying to draw people to ourselves, then we can influence. Let our light shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. Look with me in 1 Peter chapter 2. This is one of my favorite passages. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 9 and 10. 1 Peter 2, verses 9 and 10. He's talking about the new life that we have in Jesus, that we are part of a holy nation, we are special to God. And he says in verses 9 and 10, that you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession. Now note the purpose of this. So that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. For you once were not a people, but now you are the people of God. You had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Why does God do with us what he does? So that we can proclaim his excellencies. That word proclaim has the word for out and the word for angel or messenger. And so we are to message out the excellencies or the virtue of God. That word virtue is used only a couple of times, and most of them are in 2 Peter. And that is moral excellence. Now I want to ask a question that relates to that first point. How can we message out the virtue, the moral excellence of God if we're not becoming more and more like him? And how will people see God in us if we are not looking like the Son? See, integrity and influence go hand in hand. And to be young people who are active in our faith, we're going to have to be people of integrity and people of influence. Third point I want us to consider in this active, not passive idea is that we need to be people of commitment. We need to be dedicated to God. Another way of saying this is we need to prioritize faith. It's really easy for us to prioritize work, school, sports, but God wants us to prioritize faith and let all those things fall in second, third, fourth, fifth place. We are to remember our Creator in the days of our youth. Keep Him in mind first and foremost. That in all that we do, seek first God's will and God's righteousness. This is what it's about, whether we're 60 years old or 16 years old. We are to be people of commitment. How do we do this? Well, number one, I think young people, we need to be reading our Bibles. Not just when our parents tell us to, not just when we're at church, not just when we're doing our Bible lesson. If we're going to prioritize faith, that means we are in the Word of God. Josiah, he didn't have the written book for a while, but he was in the Word of God through the prophets, through the priest. And when the book was found, he reacted to it and he kept it with him. I have no doubt that what God had told, prophesied about the kings in Deuteronomy, that they were to keep the law of God in their hearts and keep a copy by them all the time. If Josiah knew that book and that's what he was reading, then he was going to be a man who kept the Word with him. And so, young people, this is what we need to do. Spend time in the Word of God. We also need to prioritize the assemblies if we're going to prioritize faith. You know, there's a lot of things that we can allow us to find a way out of coming to church. But it's an important thing. I like to preach a lesson. I was telling Brother Joe about this just a couple of days ago. There's a lesson I like to preach called The Lord's Day. And that phrase is only found one time in the Bible. And the word, the Lord's, is only used twice in the Bible. Once of the Lord's Supper, once of the Lord's Day. That was the adjective that was used by Caesar, that he stamped on his treasury, that he stamped on his military cash in the first century. And you didn't mess with what was the Lord's. Sunday is the Lord's Day. We don't mess with it. It's His. It's not ours. It's His. Now, are there going to be things that are out of our control that sometimes we can't attend? Absolutely. But what is the priority? We want to be with God's people. We want to be with those who fear the Lord. We want to worship. Prioritize the assemblies even from a young age, and we won't get as distracted when we're older. And thirdly, we need to spend time with Christians even outside of the assemblies. Do you guys sing the song, Take Time to Be Holy? Remember that line? Make friends of God's children. We need to be with one another. We need to be helping one another. I'll tell you one of the things that was really impactful in my youth as I was growing up in rural Missouri, St. James, Missouri. It just happened that the congregation we were part of had a bunch of young people right around our age. And we're all in the same school district. It was a small town. We couldn't go to it. We weren't all spread out in all different places. We were all at the same school. We went to the same church. We did the same activity. That helped. Now, that's not always possible, but you got a good crew of young people here. Young people, spend time with one another. Make your best friends those who are God's friends so that we can be close to Him and to one another. Make a commitment to read His Word, to attend the assemblies, to spend time with other Christians. Fourthly, I think this one's important. We need to start ingraining it into our hearts when we're young so that it does not depart when we're old. That to be active in our faith from a young age, we need to be people of compassion from a young age. This life is not about us. Selfishness is the root of all sin. Someone has said that when you see the word sin, there's always an I in the middle. Selfishness. If we start getting too into ourselves from a young age, that's going to become our pattern. And we need to be merciful people. You know, Matthew, in the Sermon on the Mount, says, "You shall be perfect as your Heavenly Father is perfect." That can also be translated, "Be mature as your Heavenly Father is mature or complete." But Luke takes that parallel and says, "You shall be merciful as your Father is merciful." See, the idea of maturity, the idea of perfection, is summed up in that we love the way God loves. We're going to be merciful people. We're going to be those people that do unto others what we would have them do unto us. We're going to be the people described in Proverbs 24. Look with me in Proverbs 24, verses 11 through 12. Proverbs 24, verses 11 through 12. Deliver, that is, save those who are being taken away to death. Yes, we can pray to God and ask Him to deliver, but sometimes He puts it on us. Sometimes He's going to work through us. He tells us, deliver those who are being taken away to death and those who are staggering to slaughter. Oh, hold them back. If you say, see, we did not know this, does He not consider it who weighs the hearts? And does He not know it who keeps your soul? And will He not render to man according to His work? He's saying, if it is within our power to help, to be merciful, we shouldn't be like in the story of the Good Samaritan, the two who just walked on by. We need to be the one who is active, jumps in and shows mercy and helps those who are weak. I pulled this off of stopbullying.gov. It says 28% of U.S. students in grades 6 through 12 have experienced some form of bullying. Bullying can be direct or indirect, physical, verbal, relational, or property damaging. Approximately 30% of young people admit to having bullied someone else. And 70.6% of young people say they have seen bullying in schools. Also, though there are many factors, bullying has contributed to youth suicide. If we see it, what does the Bible tell us? Deliver those who are being taken away to death. People of mercy. Young people, if we're going to see it, we've got to take the responsibility to do something to stop it. That's just one example. But we've got to be people of compassion. And if we start early showing love, love is going to follow us through to the end of our days. God wants us to be people of integrity, people of influence, people of commitment, people of compassion. There's one final thing I want us to look at as we close out our study. Is when it's time, young people, don't wait. What I mean by this is you can make a personal commitment to God that you're going to seek Him all the days of your life at any point. But when you become accountable to God and you need to be saved by God, do not wait to obey God. Look with me again at Psalm 119. Psalm 119 and verse number 60. Psalm 119 and verse number 60. It says, I hastened and did not delay to keep your commandments. Don't wait to obey God when He sets it before you. Remember Saul. He was on the road to Damascus. Blinding light, falls to the ground, says, who are you? He says, I'm Jesus. You're persecuting me when you're persecuting my saints. And that's hard for you. That's difficult for you. But I've got something greater in mind for you. Might God have something greater in mind for us? And so when we are in that period where we are sorry for our sin, and we're ready to turn from that sin, then we need an Ananias to come into our lives and say, why do you delay? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins. You know, I'm not going to stand up here and say, this is the age that some kid needs to get baptized. I don't know exactly when that age is. But I'll tell you what, if you know that you are a sinner and you are accountable to God, the longer you wait, the harder it is to obey God. It's hard to say no the first time you're convicted. It's a lot easier to say no the fifth, the tenth, the 20th time you feel that twinge. We need to hasten and not delay. Don't wait to become a Christian when it is your time to become a Christian. Now is the day of salvation. Now is the time. And so if you are not a Christian and you need to be a Christian, you need to respond to the Lord. Arise, be baptized, and wash away your sins. Would you pray with me, please? Our gracious and merciful Father in heaven, we thank you that you have given us time and you've given us guidance in your word to know how we ought to conduct ourselves in our youth. Help us to remember you. Help us to keep you in mind at all times. And when your word touches our hearts, help us to respond like Josiah, to repent and change and do what you would have us to do. Father, please bless the young people here. Bless young people of godly parents all over the country. Help those of us who are parents to guide them in the right way. But we beg you to touch the hearts of the young people themselves as they hear your word and feel the need to respond. May you receive all the glory in your lives, whatever age we may be. Help us to keep soft hearts, tender hearts, and to not wait to hasten to obey the commandments that you have given to us. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. I don't know what your condition is before God, but it doesn't matter how old you are. If you're accountable to Him, if you know what the right thing to do is, then you need to do it. Because if we don't, it's sin, and we don't know how much longer we have. God doesn't guarantee any time beyond this moment. And so if we need to respond, now is the time. If you need to come to the Lord this evening, let us know how we can help as we stand and as we sing.